Hello, and welcome to the spooktacular episode of the Pretty Little Podcast. I'm your host, Count Caroline, and here's your other host.
Come on,
think of something.
Freaktastic Phoebe.
You know what?
Freak is spelled with a PH.
Thank you for... yes anding for the first time in your freaking life. Thank you, without some big rigmarole to get you to just play along and have fun. Wow. Guys, we caught her in a good mood this week. This is fabulous news. I just realized this episode's going to be coming out on October 1st, which is one of the greatest days of the whole calendar year.
I agree. Any date in October, I think, is just perfect. I would love to have a kid in the month of October.
I would love to have a kid named October.
No, not named October.
I know, but I thought for a second that's where you were going. Yeah, well.
Imagine.
Yeah.
This is these are my kids named after my three favorite things: October, November, December.
These are my kids named after my three favorite things: October, Pretty Little Liars, and Caroline Connell. Just kidding. Just kidding. How are you, Fee? How was your crazy weekend?
Well, it really wasn't all that crazy. It rained all weekend, of course. Sending thoughts and prayers to anybody who has been affected by the flooding. Mm-hmm. And I hope you guys are okay if you're listening to this. But it did not cancel the music festival, but we only went... the weather was so miserable that we only went for Hozier on Saturday, right, and Noah Kahan on Sunday.
Right.
Which was, obviously, they were the main people we wanted to see anyway, so it didn't really matter. And our tickets were free, so that was great. But I got to spend so much time in Franklin this weekend, and I'm just obsessed with it. It made me, like... I honestly, like, had a feeling of, like... Mimi and I, before Noah Kahan, we went to this, like... tap house in downtown Franklin, and like seeing all the like parents and like different like the older people that were living there. They weren't old, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just made me excited. It made me realize once again that there is life after your 20s. Like, we have an entire new life that starts later, you know?
It is true. I have thought about that many a time, how like a lot of my friends are turning 30. I'm of course not yet, because I'm just a little baby, but one day I probably will. And to my friends who are turning 30, they're having a little bit of an emo moment about it, which is understandable. But what I keep saying, and what I keep telling myself, like real talk, is that think of all the struggle that you have experienced in your 20s. And sorry to those of you who are in your early 20s who are hearing this, like, wait, what? Wait, what do you mean struggle?
Wait, I thought if this was awesome.
Yeah, if it hasn't hit you yet, I got bad news. Just kidding. But there are a lot of things you're figuring out in your 20s, and that's not to say you're not figuring things out in every decade of life, but there are things you'll experience in your 20s for the most part that you will never have to go through again, you know? Like, for me specifically, I think of like falling in love with Anthony and going through long distance and going through like, you know, really traumatic breakups and relationships with other people that brought me there. And it's like, God, I hope to God I never have to do that again. You know, it's like, oh, there was so much of my 20s were tainted by like crying over relationships and love and things like that. And I don't really have to do that in the same way anymore, which is exciting. Yeah. Or you think about things like, you know, you're not going to ever have to move into your first apartment again. You're never going to have to try to find your first job and like do your forms and your health insurance and all these things. Like, you're doing a lot of things for the first time, and you'll have to keep doing them, but it won't be as hard. It won't be the first time. Your life will get better, because you're just going to get better at life. And you also like most likely will be in a better financial position, you know, than you are when you're 20, when you're going into your 20s.
And what people always say about their 30s is that, like, yeah, you have to learn everything in your 20s And then in your 30s, you just get to do it. And you're still, you realize that 30 is not as old as you grew up thinking that it was. And now you get the fun of being young still and also like having life down.
Yeah.
But yeah, while I was walking in Franklin, it was just, it was, I think sometimes Nashville can, like downtown Nashville can feel
insane.
I don't know. Suffocating?
Absolutely not really the word that I'm
party central, but going down there and seeing like a quieter part of like just seeing people settled down and everything and them still being young was reassuring. It was like it was a good reprieve of like, if I know that if I feel overwhelmed in Nashville, I can just drive to Franklin and it will remind me what we're all doing this for.
Well, and
it is to live there.
I mean, doesn't watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives do the same thing for you though? Like, you're like, oh my God, I'm seeing these young people who are adults who are like doing this, and it just makes me feel like, okay, this is what we're doing it for.
Not quite. Oh, that's okay. Not really what that show makes me feel.
Okay, no problem. That's totally fine. well, anyway, how was NoahCon? How was Hozier?
So good. So good. Both of them were so great. It was my fifth time seeing Hozier within a year.
Jesus.
And it was my third time seeing NoahCon.
Do you guys hear that? Do you guys hear that bragging? I just want to make sure.
Right.
I just want to make sure we're all
right.
Clear.
ACL.
Yeah.
ACL was the first time we both saw him. And then Highwater. And now this.
Yeah.
And then Hozier was at Moon River, ACL, Highwater. Maybe that was my fourth time seeing it.
Wow. The truth comes out. The truth comes out. Well.
Anyway, they were great. And it was cool because it was the last show. It was like very close to the end of this whole run for them. NoahCon said he'd played 225 shows in the last like 2 years, and that was his last one. So that was cool. And he lives in Nashville. I didn't really realize. I knew he lived here, but I didn't know he like really lived here.
Everyone on earth lives in Nashville, I think. Like every time I don't know where someone lives, it's always Nashville. It always turns out to be Nashville. Anytime someone who has a social media presence is like ambiguously living somewhere in the world, it's always Nashville.
Speaking of Nashville micro celebrities, and she's going to hate that I just called her a micro celebrity, but did you see that Kristen K-Cav?
Okay, she's not a micro Mark celebrity. He is, but she is not.
To people my age.
Okay, but not people. Hey, Phoebe, not people who have respect. Okay, because she, you can say thank you to her for what you have today in the reality TV world. Don't forget that. Okay, don't forget that.
But did you see that she and
Mark
broke up?
Yes, and I freaking absolutely loved it because it's just like, it just reminds me that, no, we're not the crazy ones. Because sometimes you think you can get in a little hole where you're like, okay, I'm sitting here judging this other person, which is inherently wrong, of course. But I just feel like I know something she doesn't. And then you're like, oh, my God, but what if? Like, what if they make it? Mm-hmm. But it was like, no, Caroline, trust your gut, okay? You knew the whole time that this was going to be all for naught. And it's, I just feel bad because, unfortunately, there are a lot of older millennials who didn't have this access to social media in their 20s. And so they are actually acting. So I take back everything I said about trying things for the first time when you're in your 20s, because there were some people that tried things for the first time, and that was like posting on Instagram stories and things like that. And you can just tell that they're like getting used to it and sharing things that they're going to be really mortified that they shared later. You know, Kristen?
I agree. And I do I just feel like with that relationship, I don't really want, I mean, I am passing judgment, I guess. I was going to say, I don't want to pass judgment, but I am. I don't know why we went from 0 to 100 with the posting.
That's what I'm trying to say.
And that's what you're talking about. Yeah. It's just like she has to feel a little, and she'll never admit it. And it didn't seem like she felt that way when she talked about it with Alex, but she has to feel a little bit like, and I don't want her to feel embarrassed, but I would feel embarrassed if I had like
anybody though
hard launched this relationship that everybody had something to say about, and we like went full throttle,
we're
together and we're in love,
let's
and you don't
the
get
haters
it
wrong.
And it's like, and then you prove the haters right. Like, that's...
I know. And that... I guess that's what I'm saying.
Maybe... I feel like in a relationship like that, I would want to give it a year before I was, like, really posting.
At least...
He could have been in pictures.
At least 6 months.
But just...
Because I understand.
A little bit... Leave a little up to the imagination in terms of, like... I don't know. Maybe post a picture with him. But don't make it, like, my heart...
Yeah.
...is on fire for you. Whatever, her captions always sound like that.
Well,
to
and
me.
I think the other thing here is like, it's not just for her that we're saying, oh, I would feel embarrassed. It's anybody. Like, anytime you go through a breakup and you have to go fucking scrub that person off your internet shit, it sucks. And you feel like an idiot and you feel like a loser because you look back on like the caption that you wrote when, you know, this person liked you and you look at the comments and you look at whatever. And number one, it makes you feel like shit. And number two, it's just like you feel dumb. Most times you feel dumb because you're like, what didn't I see? Whatever. So I'm not even saying it's like, oh, yeah, we're judging Kristen because she's got to be so embarrassed. It's like anybody would be. It's so human. It just stinks
and it sucks
that
she has to do it
so
on this massive
much.
Of a
yeah,
si- of
exactly.
a scale. Exactly. The scale of posting, but also like.
Well, people just were so vocal about their opinions. Like they were so vocal. And especially like she had the Bravo verse pretty vocal, which is never good. You never want.
No, especially
the people
when
who
you're
watch
not
Bravo.
When you're not on the, Bravo side.
Yeah. Especially when you were like the subject of controversy for like. The first lady and president of Bravo. Although I guess we should talk about Craig and Paige because there's something going on here. Like, what is Craig thinking? Imagine the phone call he got from Paige. If everything is fine, imagine the phone call he got from Paige. Guys, here's what happened. Craig posts, we get a text in the situation room, of course, from Amber alerting us to the situation.
Amber is the real BOTG.
She is BOTG. Craig posts this thing, like he was at some event. Notably, Paige wasn't there, but she is on tour, so, you know, it's to be expected.
Yeah, I didn't think that part was weird.
No, but of course, there are always the comments, no Paige, no Paige, where is Paige? Like, okay, she has a career too.
It's all these pick me bitches who want Craig to feel insecure in his relationship because they're like, I would never do that to you. I would never leave, not make you go to this event alone.
It's just so ridiculous.
It's, like, okay,
it's not your
relationship.
It's not even about making Craig feel insecure. They're trying to make Paige feel insecure. They're trying to make Paige look like it's of course not even like towards him. It's towards the woman always. But anyway, he put the song. What is it called?
Love Yourself.
Love Yourself. And I'm listening to the song play as I'm looking through this post. And every lyric just gets worse and worse. Like if this is about Paige, because it certainly feels like given their situation, the lyrics really did apply. Didn't you think?
Yeah, but I do think he's just an idiot.
I do too, because that would be an insane
song, like,
way to soft launch a
breakup. I wonder if there was a DJ at the event and the DJ was the DJ who did the remix of Love Yourself,
maybe.
Which is what he posted. Like, I wonder if there's some connection to the day and why he
or literally
used that song, or he just likes
Instagram
it, like,
just suggested
just
it,
an idiot.
And he was like, sweet.
And he was like, oh.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't even see the title. He liked how it sounded.
We have to get fucking real for a second because Craig does use Comic Sans on his Instagram stories. So we're expecting a lot from somebody who's operating at a pretty basic level in the social media world.
Exactly.
That's all.
It's like being really good at art and playing Pictionary and like getting upset when the other people that aren't professional artists doing their art getting upset with them, because we are all people that are like masters of, we are all people that are masters of social media, and we think about the minutiae of everything and what an extra space at the end of something insinuates. And we have to remember that Greg is operating at a much more elementary level. Did I say Greg?
Yeah.
Craig. All that to say, it's like I can't think of a good analogy. I really tried there.
Yeah. It's
but
okay. We can
one.
Move on.
It's like trying to put a meaning behind like a Dr. Seuss book because you like have a master's in American literature.
Dr. Seuss books have meaning.
You know what I mean? Like trying to make something much deeper than it is for someone who can't even think to get it deeper.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. I know where you're going with that. I just think, let's move on.
Okay.
my next thing that I'm dying to talk about, and like, I don't want to speculate, but like, I do. What's up with Ella's black eye?
Yeah, honestly.
Oh, guys, Ella, I mean, you guys know her as Lore.
Sorry, her close personal friend. Yeah. I did almost put that on my close friend story and say me vibes.
How the hell is it you vibes? Are you trying to like show me that you have a black eye right now? Like, no, you don't.
Circa 2022.
I literally don't know what you're talking about. Did you have a black eye?
You remember the worst night of my life.
Oh, girl, you're crazy to even bring it up.
It happened. I'm never going to tell the story.
Well, yeah, I know that. I know that.
Well, maybe one year behind. Maybe one day behind a paywall.
No, I would sooner jump through the computer screen than allow you to tell that story.
I'm going to tell that story at a live show one day.
Oh, my God. Okay, guys, we'll come to our first
everybody,
live show.
I'm gonna say everybody... Put your phone, you're gonna have to, when everybody shows up to the story, they're gonna have to lock up their phone.
To the story? Are you okay? Are we here? Are we physically here?
It's one of those days.
It is one of those days, I guess, for Phoebe. No, it's gonna be like the John Mulaney shows where that you do have to like lock up your phone, pretty much.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
That's intense. I'll say it. Did you see
speaking nobody of wear a wire?
John Mulaney had and nobody wear and you know what? Hey. Nobody wear a wire. I am so sick of all my friends showing up to my house with wires on ever since I started this podcast. Everyone's like, well, we just don't know when you're going to say something that we could leak early to the press and it gets us $1 million. And it's like, then you're not a true friend. Then I don't know. And then I need to get Bumble BFF, I guess, because you are not a true friend. If I can't like just speak freely in front of you and try out new material that I then might recycle on the podcast. Which I would never do, of course. I'm fully present and invested in you when we're hanging out, even though you're wearing a wire. How could you do that to me? I'm such a good friend to you.
So, yeah.
Okay, well.
We're going to have tour-specific merch that says, I'm not wearing a wire.
I'm not wearing a wire. And no, you can't check me because don't touch me. Trust me. Take me at my word. That's what the whole shirt says or something like that or something like that.
Something.
Can I just speak about something though? Like, okay. Yeah. Ella, here's the deal. What's going on with you posting 10,000 pictures of your eye, nothing about it. And then it's like
giving that girl from your eighth grade DC trip.
Oh my God. Don't bring her up. I don't want her to get any more screen time. Literally no more airtime. You know what I used to think was the most hilarious joke known to man? When someone would be like, oh my God, you have got a face perfect for radio.
You always thought that was funny?
I just thought that was clever as hell and so funny.
It is good. And now it's like you have a face for a podcast.
Yeah, well, now that doesn't mean anything because all podcasts are fucking video, which like, I just need, I don't know. I know we'll we're like easing in into day. It. It's just like a lot. I don't even, yeah, I know. I just wish that we were painting a good enough picture that you guys didn't need it.
I think we are.
I don't know.
I think we are.
Okay.
Because someone did ask a couple weeks ago for you to world build what you think happened on set when it was decided that Lucy would be the one doing the shh in the theme
instead of the other girls.
Yeah. Do you think it was Lucy's suggestion? How do you think that went down?
Oh my God, you're putting me on the spot. It's like, it's kind of one of those things that more just comes to me, if that makes sense. Like, in the moment, and this one hasn't, it's like when Raven has a vision and that's so Raven, but that hasn't fully happened for me with this yet. But now that it's out there okay. In the universe, I'm sure like it'll come back. So, you know, we'll stay tuned or we'll never know. And if we do never know, then we weren't meant to know. So I hope that answers that. That's so party pooper of me. That is
I'm
so
glad you can admit it. That was big of you.
Me, but the truth is, I just don't want to be bad at it and like embarrass myself. Because the reality is, we all know how it happened. We all know how it happened, okay?
The black eye?
No, the shh.
Oh.
Of course we all know.
We all know.
We all know how that happened. So, speaking of mysterious celebs, let's talk about Anna Delvey getting eliminated from Dancing with the Stars. And when
and
does
her
camp
be mad that they're exp- exploiting her.
You know, that is funny. And there is, like, I don't know. It's very interesting. I wonder if Dancing with the Stars, the casting department, didn't really think through fully, like, the implications of casting Anna Delvey before they saw the reactions of the audience.
Yeah. And I also feel like maybe in their heads, they were casting the Anna Delvey that's been, like, glamorized. And, like, the Chloe Fineman Anna Delvey and the Anna Delvey from the show, and not the real Anna Delvey.
I feel like what happened is her team sold her to Dancing with the Stars, basically saying, like, look, she really wants to be rehabilitated into society. This is a great opportunity for her to revamp her image. Like, she's going to be committed to this. We think it could make a great statement about, like, I'm sure they sold it every which way. And then she showed up and she couldn't deliver. But her literally them. But it was kind of fucking funny when Julianne Hough is like, so what are you going to take from your experience on Dancing with the Stars? And Anna said nothing. But I mean, like, she's right. Like, she didn't win anything.
What is she? She's not going to go dance.
She got eliminated right away. She's literally taking nothing from this. I don't even think she made any friends. So she can't even say that.
Certainly not.
Which is, like, the number reason to do Dancing with the Stars.
But Reggie's killing it on the TikTok.
Reggie?
He is precious.
Oh, my God.
He gives Elvis.
He does. But it's just, like, oh my God, I don't know even how to begin. Like, the way that he warms my heart is crazy. I love Dwight Howard.
Perfect.
That's who I want to win. The basketball player.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Because Daniela, whatever her name is, she always gets paired with these super tall NBA players. And she had Iman Shumpert. I think that's his last name is Shumpert. Anyway, they won. And he was like, he was like, I think he was like a full foot taller than her, but then this guy is literally like, she's like 5'2 and he's 6'11. So it's even crazier. Isn't that insane that she can like choreograph? So when you're on Dancing with the Stars, did the pros choreograph, or do they have somebody come choreograph and teach it to both of you? Because that's like a crazy number one skill set.
I love how you framed that question. I love how you framed that question as though you were asking me.
We're having a conversation.
No, but it was almost like I had been on the show the way that you were asking me that.
Well, did you fucking make that up? Wait, that's actually low. That's actually low even for you. You made that up?
Even for me.
Where were you? Where were you for those fucking 4 months? Oh my God. You sent me
Face and Hole.
Not only did you lie to me about this, but you hacked into my Face and Hole premium subscription and abused it. I didn't know you were this good at Face and Hole. I would have had you making graphics. Great. At least something
How
came out
good
of this.
Was it? Do you remember when Anthony made that graphic of you as Travis Kelce so we could try to get people to convince you to be a part of fantasy football?
Yeah.
And it was so good because Travis Kelce had a helmet on and he was able to make it so your face was behind the like greats.
Anthony's amazing.
Of the helmet. He's like failing in fantasy football right now.
He's got a lot going on, okay?
Okay.
But we're all excited to see you this week.
I'm excited to be there. I'm excited to dance the night away.
Yeah, we are going to definitely dance the night away. Guys, okay, so as you know, I'm in the process of writing a maid of honor speech because this weekend I'm the maid of honor at my BFF's wedding. And she's like my childhood best friend. And we just have so much that like I could choose from. And I feel like I've thought about this and she's thought about this speech moment for so long.
Oh,
that, like,
that's a weird, that's, I didn't think about that.
You know what I mean? Like,
because I feel like you probably, like, if Caitlin had been asked in fourth grade who her maid of honor was going to be,
it would have
been the answer since like then.
Yeah. So like,
so
imagine
the fact that now you've gotten here. That is crazy.
So there's just so much that
oh my gosh, that makes me want to cry.
It's been over 20 years that we've been friends. Like,
that's wild.
That is crazy. And we have, and I think I've decided the angle, but I thought I would just share some advice that I learned, because the other thing is like, I don't know. I feel like it's almost harder. Like, I feel like when I'm writing yours one day, because of course I will get to do that because you will ask me, when I'm writing yours, I feel like it'll feel easier because I don't know.
Because we have literally hundreds of hours of recorded content that you can talk about.
Because we're just, I don't know why. But it's like, this is, like, I feel like at your wedding, it'll be like everyone I know as well. Whereas at her wedding, I will know most everybody, but there will be a lot of people I don't know. And so it's like, I don't know. I want it to be so good. And I feel like there's been build up and now I'm like, oh my God, what if it isn't good? What if it sucks? So I've been listening to some podcasts and like this guy went on and he wrote a book called Wedding Toasts Don't Have to Suck. And he gave some really good pieces of advice. And I feel stupid giving these pieces of advice because Phoebe has already written a maid of honor speech and this is my first time doing it, but
It was amazing. And I freaking nailed it. I freaking knocked it out of the park.
And she absolutely freaking nailed it, knocked it out of the park. But
I do think it can be easier to write about a sibling.
That's what I think I'm saying.
And I don't know how to explain it, but I just think there's a lot of stuff that you can read about those relationships. Yeah. And like, there's a lot that can like speak to that. You talk. I'm going to go get this chicken out of the oven.
So the first thing he said was like, your job is to make everybody feel like they are so lucky to be there. And I thought that was such a great way to put it. Like he was like, your job is to remind everyone like how special this person or these people are and how much this night is like, you know, gonna mean to everybody even years from now. And you really want to finish your speech and have people look at each other and be like, wow, like I'm so glad we get to be a part of this and we like made the cut and got to be here. And so that was one thing that helped me. And then he also said he's a big fan of the 1 point speech, which is where like your speech all boils down to 1 point that you're trying to make. And that is what I think has helped me the most because she and I have so much we could talk about. Like, I mean, endless stories, and I still haven't decided every single one I'm going to use, so I won't share them here yet, but maybe I will after the wedding. But it's helping me like sift through like, okay, what is going to lead me to like my one big point that I'm trying to get to from my acting folks? What's my super objective? You know, what's going to help me get there? And I don't know. I just thought that was a really neat way to look at it as well. So if you are writing a speech and you're struggling, I think those are two like good rules to follow. Number one, remind everyone how lucky they are to be here. And number two, use the 1 point speech and like simplify it and let that like be your North Star when you're writing it. So anyway, we'll see how much it helps me once I've done it. But I feel like I have a good handle on like what my point is and how I'm going to get there. Now I just kind of have to like,
I think it's easy to forget that there's, it can be overwhelming how much you want to talk about. Yes. And also like, even though I had like 3 points, but I had one thing that was weaving it all together, which made it easier to like wrap everything up. And I think that a lot of people could get excited to like charge into the speech and list all of these things that they want to talk about. And then they get to the end and they realize that there wasn't like a common thread.
Right.
To be like, and this is why it all matters.
Right. And like,
because it also like, you don't want to treat it like you're writing it like for a speech class.
No.
But you kind of are. Well, you like, kind of have to, because it's the way to make an effective speech.
Think about how many bad speeches you've listened to. And it's just like you have an opportunity to like, when everyone clinks their glasses and or they get ready for you to speak, they can be like, okay, here we go. Or it can feel like, oh, I'm excited for this moment. And like, this is going to be great. Mm-hmm. And it's like entertainment and it's something like that. And a lot of people will just like list off a bunch of stuff, and at the end it's just kind of like, okay, well, I mean that was nice, but it wasn't like memorable or
it feels like you want everybody to feel included, because sometimes if someone gets up there and they just tell like a bunch of stories from your friendship, it's like, okay, well,
inside,
if you're someone
jokes.
Who doesn't really know the maid of honor, it's like, well, I've just listened to two people like reminisce about stories I don't have. And there was no overarching point as to why that matters.
Unless
today.
Unless you're a really good storyteller.
And this day that brings everybody together.
Yeah.
You're not connecting it to the thing that's connecting all of us.
Like, I think whatever stories I do decide to tell, I'm going to like really, really like tell them. You know what I mean? And like, because otherwise it's not fun to like hang out with two people who know each other and hear them talk about their memories together. Like Phoebe's saying. So
yeah, exactly.
Like, you have to make it fun for everyone else. And that means when you tell the story, it's just like we do here. Like, we can talk about things, and there's sometimes like we'll be talking and I'll be like, yeah, I know you've already told me this, but like we're not just having a conversation just us, we're trying to make it interesting for other people too. So that's,
we're literally having a conversation with roughly 1 trillion people.
Exactly,
so we kind of have to keep you in the loop.
That's like an average, probably it's more. Like a lowballing average.
But never forget when Matt Rogers was talking about the world and he goes,
oh my god,
I mean like a million people.
Oh,
like one million people.
That's, and
Bowen,
so
but Bowen
funny.
Said 7 billion at the same time. Matt
oh
said
my god.
1 million. Hormone harmony. Yes, road warriors, the rumors are true. Sometimes when I hop on to record the pod, I am a little cranky, and that's thanks to PMS. Obviously, talking with Caroline cheers me up, but sometimes even that's not enough.
Well, Phoebe, it's a lot easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony, along with so many other things. And I love that it supports cortisol levels and helps balance my mood swings. Yes, I also sometimes experience those. And obviously, I benefit from the improved sleep quality.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, and they're amazing because they literally help the body adapt to any stressors. Which makes sense because Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Because women's stories matter. It has zero sugar, it's gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested.
And Phoebe, did you know a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds?
Actually, I did know that, and I'm pretty sure I'm the one who told you.
Anyway, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today.
Mochi Health. Phoebe, have you ever had a doctor who just didn't listen to you?
Who hasn't?
Good question. Well, Mochi Health understands that weight loss can be a frustrating and seemingly impossible journey, and they're not just listening, they're taking action.
They're taking a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visits with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and science-backed medications delivered right to your front door.
With Mochi, their dietitians work hand in hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle.
Mochi Health is making it easier to make sustainable changes and achieve real weight loss results with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, support from real doctors, and guidance from registered dietitians.
And the best part is that it's affordable and accessible regardless of your insurance coverage.
Well, actually, the best part is that Road Warriors can use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
Oh my God, you are so right. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
And in case you missed it, that's joinmochi.com and use code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
Well, that's a good segue. So should we talk about the SNL premiere? I didn't watch
SNL?
The whole thing. But I watched some standouts.
I just watched the clips.
Yeah, the clips.
I think my standout for the night is actually the Joe Biden impression.
Oh.
Because when he goes, folks, and guess what? And by the way, that made me laugh out loud.
I mean,
I actually cackled when he said that because that is so... That is, he says that
the way
it is so funny
that they nailed their presidential and like political people is insane. I mean, we've got obviously Maya Rudolph returning as Kamala Harris, and her voice
killing it. She sounds,
if I closed
like
my
her.
Eyes, I literally would not know.
I did that today.
Them bringing back Andy Samberg to play Doug, I can't explain. I have chills. Okay, that's embarrassing.
And he really embodied Doug.
He's perfect. And I, like, he's one of my longtime crushes, Andy Samberg. Like, he was sort of like Pete Davidson before Pete Davidson. That was like the vibe.
And a little bit, it made a little bit more sense. for Andy Samberg.
For sure. And he is so, I mean, when he comes out to teach me how to Dougie and then like, just, I mean, he, I just think was so fabulous. And then having Jim Gaffigan as Tim Walz was hilarious. Like,
so good.
They just absolutely nailed it. It was so fun to watch. I am excited, like, for the rest of their season.
I agree. And I do think it was so funny to have Bowen Yang do J.D. Vance.
Okay.
Because they could have gotten anybody.
They had Bowen working.
I do wish, not to critique hair and makeup, but I think we should have figured out how to do a subtle little eyeliner look for Bowen. Because that's like the joke about J.D. Vance is that it always looks like he's wearing eyeliner.
Yeah.
Because he's, I don't know why, his waterline is pretty dark. Maybe he is wearing eyeliner.
Those are his tears. They're just black.
Right. That would make sense.
It would.
But yeah, Bowen was working.
Bowen was working overtime. And I feel a little bad for him now. Because in case you missed it on Weekend Update, Bowen came out as Mudang, the baby hippo. That is just absolutely coursing through the nation right now. And they basically had Bowen. Here's the thing. This was performance art. And this was a statement. Unfortunately, I think it grossly overestimated the intelligence of the average American. No offense, but there was a comment being made here about Chapel Roan being treated like a zoo animal. And that has seemed to go over everyone's heads. And they're like attacking Bowen for this and saying,
when Bowen has made it clear how he feels about Chapel.
Yes, and saying things like Bowen took a break for his mental health, but like, what? Well, yeah. And at the end of the sketch even said like we should let Chapel Roan have whatever she wants.
And I think that read to some people as a joke, which I understand like the misinterpretation there. But I'm also just like, this is SNL. Like this is what they this is what they do.
I do think that like Chapel Roan, has she said anything? Because I've just feel like she's gonna
I think she took my really good advice, which was to fucking lock her phone away.
Yeah.
Because, guys, I posted this on my story and some people came for me. I said, Chapel Roan, lock your phone up.
That's a pretty reasonable thing to say given the circumstances.
And honestly, I'm saying that from a place of like, I want to protect you and your career.
Yes.
I want you to remain likable as long as you can because I want more music.
And by the way, you guys, hey, I feel like we need to say this because every so often, Phoebe and I feel safe enough to speak about our opinions on people in pop culture. And sometimes those people are women and we are also women. And if it's not clear that we are so fucking pro woman, I don't know how to make it more clear, to be honest. But we are allowed to have opinions about women that aren't completely sparkling, shining, positive. We are allowed to criticize other women. We criticize each other all the time. It doesn't mean we don't also lift each other up and celebrate each other, okay? So I think it's gotten a little bit ridiculous with the, like, you know, Phoebe and I walk the walk. We show the world that we are girls, and we root for women in so many ways all the time. And if we're not doing a good enough job of showing that,
rooting for Chapel.
I'm so sorry. Hear it from me now and know that I mean it, okay? But we may speak about Chapel Roan right now in a way that you don't like. And we both love Chapel Roan. And I feel like the second we say anything
if you disagree.
Negative about somebody, like it happened a ton with Renee Rapp when we said she needed a media training, blah, blah, blah. We, I guess, didn't remind everyone every other sentence that we love Renee Rapp. But like I feel similarly towards Chapel Roan right now. I love Chapel Roan. I listen to Chapel Roan's music every single day. I love her.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she has a handle on her life right now. And that's obvious. And I think she needs to get the help that she needs. But I think part of that is protecting herself so that she has a fan base to come back to. And what that means is putting your phone away for a little bit. That doesn't mean we're taking away women's right to speak. Like, that's just probably the best move from a PR standpoint, okay? And we're still feminists. Thank you.
And also, I feel like it's the best route for her to protect her mental health, which is what this is all about.
Yes.
Is like, if you're not looking at it all day, every day, you don't need to feel, you won't feel as much pressure as frankly, there's a little bit of this pressure that she's saying we're putting on her, but I think because she's reading so much of it, she's putting it on herself, pressure to speak on everything.
Yeah.
You don't need to. there are a lot of celebrities who haven't endorsed a candidate. But you said something in an interview that people wanted an answer for. Yeah. And then you kind of condescendingly lectured the internet yeah. on why certain people shouldn't feel the way that they feel about a presidential candidate.
Well, and I do feel like that's a little bit of the criticism here, too, is like there's kind of an attitude that is coming with all of this that I think is a little bit misplaced, because anytime Chapel Roan posts on her social media, that is going to be a blanket statement to everyone who follows her. And a lot of the things that she's saying are probably really valuable to people who haven't heard it before. But then there are people who aren't the ones who are making her feel uncomfortable, who are still hearing the statement that kind of way. And I think it maybe makes them feel a certain way. And that's where we're saying, mm-hmm. like, just what all we're saying is she needs to find a better way to communicate her feelings now that she has this newfound audience. Because the reality is, Chapel, your life has changed. So it's unrealistic to think that you don't have to change your approach to things a little bit. And like, that is part of it. And I think a lot of this also is that she is learning the things, like, you know, let's just liken her rise to stardom to ours. I had a really right. hard time in April with like all of the comments that were being made about us, but especially about me. And I felt like I wanted to answer every single one and like let everybody know who I really was and what the truth was, because I couldn't have this misinformation out there. And what I realized mm-hmm. now, like the next time this happens to me, I'll be better equipped to handle it, because what I've realized is like, I don't have to. People are going to think what they think. A lot of people don't even think that or know what they think. They just want you to respond. And it's better for me to not dig myself in this hole. Like, it's better for me to just ignore it yeah. because as Allison De Laurentiis says, if you ignore it, it will go away.
Unfortunately, it's not always true, we're going to have to take a page out of Nick Vial's book here.
And ignore
the man in America who needs to look at comments more than anybody else in the world. Is able to look away.
Yes.
So I think that we should take
and honestly,
a page out of his book.
I think it is the reason he still has a thriving podcast, because if he spent mm-hmm. 5 seconds in his comments, I don't know how he would get back in the recording studio. So like, it's something that you have to learn. Victoria Alario said it when she came on our show, that like when she got off the reality show, she made a video like addressing all this stuff. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
everyone's going to have that. The problem with Chapel Roan having that right now is she had such an insane rise to stardom that she's having that moment with so many fucking people watching and having yeah. opinions. So unfortunately, like, she didn't get to have that moment when she was a, as you called Kristen Cavallari, micro celebrity, you know?
And I feel like Renee had that moment.
She did.
Like, Renee, when she was getting criticism for some of her interviews and some of the ways that she was talking to people, she wasn't, and she still hasn't reached the height that Chapel has.
Right.
So it's like, when she does reach that point, that year of time, or the 6 months of time where people were kind of critical of her,
yeah.
won't be at the front of our minds.
Right.
As much.
Yeah.
So it won't affect her career as much. But this could actually have repercussions mm-hmm. on her career. And I just think that if she wants to separate the project from who she is, then she should be trying to find a way where she can do that in her own yeah. life, where like the comments being left on Chapel Roan's TikTok, you don't have to worry about that when you're not Chapel Roan, and then you can get on stage
right.
and be Chapel
right.
Roan and still not worry about it and just perform.
That's a great point.
For the people that are actually interested, and just seeing you perform and do your art, which is yeah. clearly what you are most interested in doing. So just don't pay attention to the noise. Just leave it alone.
I know.
You'll feel better. We'll feel better. I wanted to defend you.
No, we just want everyone, like, we want this to be so good. Like, and maybe, like, you know, maybe this isn't what she wanted. She's realizing she has fame and she doesn't like it. Like, that's, mm-hmm. That's okay.
Which is fine.
But then I get, you know, then you got to figure that out. And that is hard to do under a microscope the way she is right now, which is, again,
absolutely.
Why the phone shouldn't be in her hands. Like, I think that should be rule number mm-hmm. one of any kind of crisis, is like, you don't need a phone. You don't need internet. You can have a streaming service on your TV where someone else holds the remote control, but that's probably all you need, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I started watching, well, because I listened to the Las Culturistas episode with Will Ferrell and Harper Steele. Did you listen?
Yes. Well, I haven't finished the episode, but I watched the movie.
I started watching it. I haven't finished that yet, but I did finish the episode. And I loved it. Like, I really thought it was... Well, I loved their discussion with Mambo, and I guess I can't speak to the entire documentary, but I love the premise of it, especially, and this idea that, like, mm-hmm. I just am thinking about the type of movies that Will Ferrell makes.
Yeah.
And who watches them. And I'm thinking about if they can see Will Ferrell, you know, having this mm-hmm. amazing relationship with a trans woman after having mm-hmm. a beautiful relationship with this person as a man as well. Like, then maybe everyone fucking can, you know? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I just, what did you think of it now that you finished it?
The movie was great. Made me cry.
Harper Steele is so funny. Like, they're just, they are both so funny together that I just, like, found myself smiling the entire time.
Mm-hmm. It was great. I really liked, I feel like there's a lot of, like, doomerism and nihilism online mm-hmm. towards our country. And I get it.
Yeah.
I get where it's coming from. However, I like that there's, like, this reclamation of patriotism, because I really do love our country mm-hmm. and I want what's best for our country. And Harper speaks to that in the beginning of the movie. She's like, I used to travel the country because I love this country. And I love these, like, hole-in-the-wall restaurants, and I love these spaces. And now that I'm living as the person that I truly am, I have a tough time feeling like if these places are still for me. But instead of it turning into this, like, I hate this country because I don't feel comfortable, it's like, I love this country so much that I want to go see if I can make this work and bring it. There's this scene in the dive bar where in the movie's not, we don't only see positive interactions for Harper, because it's a real reflection, I feel like, of the you know, the climate in the world. And it's not perfect everywhere, obviously. It's far from perfect, and it can be really dangerous for someone like Harper. But she goes into this bar and she has Will wait outside at first, and she's like, I just want to go in and see
what it's like,
I can do it. And we get these clips of her, like, standing at the, like, on the outskirts of the bar, like, with her beer and everything. And it's like, but then by the end of the night, she's made friends with these people. Yeah. And, like, she's been able to, like, a lot of these people, I think we've talked about this when we were, I don't remember what we were talking about. Oh, I think we're talking about Chrishell and G Flip.
Mm-hmm.
But Harper was able to go into these spaces where these people might not ever have the opportunity to meet a trans person. Yeah,
that's such a good point.
And so it's a lot easier, and this obviously this doesn't make it right, but it's easier for them to live in their little bubbles and their echo chambers and listen to the news that is villainizing this community and to really believe it. And to it's easy to hate what you don't understand.
Right.
And when you're in an echo chamber of people that are doing the same thing, the hate and the vitriol becomes a lot more intense. But then when you meet someone at a bar and you realize that they're just someone that you can have a beer with.
Yeah.
Not only is that humanizing them for you, but now Harper is like, she can still find spaces like this where she can now be herself and still enjoy it the way that she was able to before she transitioned.
Right.
I don't know. I just thought that it was a really, obviously there was a lot of disheartening stuff in the documentary and there's a lot of work to be done.
Yes.
But it didn't leave me feeling hopeless or helpless. It left me feeling like, wow, like, we can do this. We can get to a point where someone like Harper is going to be able to do these cross-country trips and it's not going to fucking matter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because she's just another person that you can just have a beer with.
Well, I guess we should also give a little bit of context for those of you that don't know. So
Harper Steele was a writer on SNL when, like, I mean, pretty early, but she and Will became friends before Harper transitioned. And a couple years ago, Harper finally admitted to herself who she was and decided that she wanted to start living authentically the way that she feels. And so she wrote a letter to Will and all of these other people from SNL explaining that she's coming out and she's going to transition. And Will decided that he wanted to take a cross-country road trip with Harper because that's something that Harper loved to do before.
And there's something
before she transitioned.
There of Will acknowledging his privilege too and like understanding that Harper may not get to experience these parts of the world again in her true self without, and it's not fair, but without somebody like Will or somebody there, an ally who exists in you know.
This is going to make me cry thinking about it. Oh my gosh. But before she goes into the bar, or while she's in the bar, Will's waiting. Like, he gets out of the car and he's just waiting outside of the bar and he starts crying.
Oh.
Like, it's like he has a realization of, like, it's dangerous for her to be in there.
How really brave it is for her to be living her life, just living her life. Like, how much bravery it takes to be a member of the trans community or queer community and live your life the way you want to is not always safe. And that's a realization that a lot of people who, you know, don't exist in the queer spaces that way, like, they don't have to think about that. So they sometimes don't.
But also someone like Will Will is in, he might be in a lot of queer spaces, but he's in queer spaces. Right,
sorry,
in places
that's what
like
I
New
meant.
York,
he's in queer
in
spaces
LA.
As somebody who also can leave the queer space. Like, you know, so.
Yes. But I also mean, like, he's in these spaces where it's so normalized.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that's,
he
yeah, that's
isn't.
A good point.
I think it can be hard to be in, like, a city, a big city, and remember that there are a lot of small towns where it's. I mean, big city, you know, New York,
yeah,
LA, being in the entertainment industry, you're around people, probably a lot more gay people, and a place where it's much more accepted. And it can be easy to forget that it's not like, we're seeing that a lot with the political conversation now too, of like these, you know, people that live in blue cities, they forget that we're voting on a lot more for a lot of populations that are much more vulnerable than you maybe feel in your city.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was going to point out that I do think, like, historically the comedy space hasn't always been a super safe space for, you know what I mean? Like, it's often, there's a long history of comics using thing, you know, like there's nothing's off the table, you know, and it's whatever. So I can imagine there's also a part of Will that, like, I can just imagine the rooms that Will's been in. Like, and I don't want to put this on anybody, but you think of these, like, bro-y, super straight.
And Harper before she transitioned.
Yes, exactly. But I'm specifically thinking too of just like being a Will, maybe feeling some sort of guilt for existing, you know, and being a straight man in this world who maybe joined in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the world has been changing for Will too.
Well, I thought it was big of Matt in the Lost College episode when he talks about one of the first, like, sketches that he wrote, and he was like, I was going back through old things that I'd written, and I realized that in the first joke we told was a transphobic joke.
The
way that this movie tackles the conversation, which I think is going to make it so much more accessible to a lot of people, is like, Harper is like, bring it all to the table.
Yes.
Let's talk about all of it. She's like, she talks about her therapist who, years before she transitioned, kind of encouraged her not to, and was like, maybe,
oh my god, I could not believe
really,
that
really how you feel. And then they go to the Grand Canyon and she meets a therapist who basically, like, laments to Harper, and she's like, I if you don't mind me asking, like, I want to hear XYZ about your experience. And she starts talking about how she had a patient who years ago came to her And she wasn't super encouraging. Like, she didn't know how to handle it. And so she was like, maybe it's, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's something else. And Harper didn't hold that against her. Harper was like, well, let's talk about it. I totally get it. Like, I had an experience like that and I've had to really get over it. But like, I don't know. I just think that when you don't, when both parties don't have to be on the defensive, then it's much easier to make progress in the conversation.
Right. And I think, it's also like there's something really brave about Harper bringing these conversations to the spaces of these people who she is trying to educate and trying to, you know, like it's, she's not expecting them to come into the queer space and learn about it. She's like, I will bring it to you in a way that let's make it make sense, you know, because it's not dividing us isn't doing anyone any favor. So how do we make it make sense? And she says something in the very beginning. She's like, I'm sure you have a lot of questions, Will. Like, are there things you want to ask me that you don't think you can ask? Let's talk about it. And so it's them on this road trip having conversations that, you know, I'm sure a lot of these questions are questions people at home have wanted to ask or whatever. And their whole they were like, we want this released before Election Day because we think this is going to spark some really important living room conversations, which is what we're doing right now, you know. And it's like, I really hope that this, and I feel excited by the idea of Will Ferrell being attached to this and who that might bring this to that otherwise it might never find. And I'm really, I think it's awesome. If you can, if you're on Netflix, go watch Will and Harper. It's really moving and amazing. And they were on Las Culturistas as well, which is a really fun conversation because Will Ferrell like owns the network that Matt and Bowen are on.
Big money players.
And obviously Bowen's currently on SNL. Will was on SNL. Harper is on SNL as a writer. Like they all exist in this world. It's just really neat to hear their conversation and a lot was very funny. Do you want to talk about Nobody Wants This?
Yes. And I actually want to say when you posted the thing today that was like recording tonight, what do you want us to talk about? And I saw that someone without a profile picture responded, nobody wants this, with like 30 exclamation points.
I had the same thought. I was like,
oh my God, our career is over.
Our career is over. And that is why we say stay out of the comment section. And here I am asking you all to tell us things. But that is so funny. I had the exact same moment and I had already posted about it. I've only watched the first two episodes because Anthony and I are watching it together.
Me too. I think I'm on like,
oh my God.
Maybe I'm on episode
How
three,
good is
but
it?
Guys, why have we not been utilizing Adam Brody?
Oh, someone said he has so much riz in this show. I'm like swooning over him in this show.
Oh, he's so cute.
He is.
So
and they have
cute.
Such chemistry, he and Kristen Bell.
They really
do. So guys,
do.
This show is also on Netflix.
And Kristen Bell looks beautiful.
She looks so good. She looks so good. There's
they really, I don't know what they did something different.
I think her hair is different and I think it helps.
I mean, she's always pretty. She's always pretty, obviously. But I just feel like she's like gorgeous in this.
So the show is about Kristen Bell and her sister, who I can't remember, but we talked about her last week a little bit, I think, because she's in Succession.
On the Patreon.
Yeah. Oh, on the Patreon. But they're sisters and they have a podcast called Nobody Wants This. And it is, I was like, wait a minute. This is kind of so fun because we don't see podcast culture really like, you know, on TV shows. It's like one of the first
and
times.
And is that for the best?
Well, but it was kind of fun to watch it because I was like, wow, this is like, it's just nice sometimes to see other people experiencing the things that we're experiencing. And like
my favorite,
trying to figure
one of my
out
favorite
this
moments,
world and having no clue what they're doing. Like, I love it.
One of my favorite moments is when they're at lunch with their parents and Kristen Bell gets a call and she like jumps up and she like goes to answer it. And
well, she says to her sister and to the whole family, she's like, oh, the sister says, sorry, God.
Is it about the podcast is what they say. And then they go up and Kristen Bell has it on speaker. And then the other girl comes up behind her. But as she's coming up on speaker, the person on the other end goes, is your sister there? Does that matter? does she matter? And Kristen Bell like doesn't really acknowledge.
I was dying at that. I was also so dying hard at the way that they spoke to each other on the phone, like when she's waiting outside of the temple and they're talking on the phone about like the podcast, and then they're like, anyway, what are you doing? And like just the conversation was they have nailed at least our sister dynamic, like really well. It's very funny the way they interact together. And then and seeing guys, them on the couch way, talking I'm together, like...
I'm absolutely honored that I get to be the sister that I am. Obviously, I'd love to be Kristen Bell, but I also am charmed by the other sister.
No, they're both charming, and that they have this meeting with like some podcast execs or whatever, and they're like, you know, it really doesn't matter what you talk about. It's you two. It's this. It's whatever. Because they have like this funny little fight in the middle of the meeting, and I was like, oh, like it just. We had so many people. I mean, I've gotten like a bunch of messages from people being like, "Oh my god, have you watched this show? Like, it's so
it's you guys.
Like, it's
I feel
very...
like I'm Annie Murphy in that episode of Black Mirror when she's like watching herself, on, like her. She's watching her own Netflix show that's created.
Yeah, I don't watch Black Mirror. Sorry. But guys, it's so funny. And then Adam Brody plays Kristen Bell's love interest, and he's a rabbi. And it's like this whole hilarious like thing with they really it almost feels like forbidden love a little bit in the moment, because also her mm-hmm. podcast talks about sex and love and relationships. So like he's like, okay, well, I'm like a public figure, so like you can't
talk about
that. It talks
about boy sex, fucking dating and love.
Yeah. Speaking of that, well, by the way, guys, so flattered. I think we both are that anyone would liken the show to us, but I'm loving it so much. It's only 10 episodes and they're each 30 minutes, so it's a real quick watch. But I was so excited when I woke up this morning and had texts from you in the middle, not clarifying what she was doing, what she was watching, but just all caps. It's like, when they're at the restaurant and they get the call and they say, could this be about the podcast? I'm dying. And then the next one's like, oh my God, when the texts are read out loud in the car, I'm dying. And she's like, still not said what she's doing, but I just know exactly. But the text is so funny. She's just like, why the
and
fuck also, did you plug your phone in? Why did you? And just like fully.
And also not you, not you reading my text in a Lisa Barlow voice.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? This episode was kind of lame for me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to remember what even happened.
Well, Meredith Marks is going to get bat mitzvahed. That's the first thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Wait, I was like, and I think I just cry at everything nowadays. But when her husband started to cry about it, I
was
like.
It was really sweet. But then, Phoebe, like, I'll ruin it for you. Ready? Because I had this moment on my second watch of the episode. And I thought to myself, do you think preseason, all the housewives have like a brainstorming sesh with Andy, with whoever producers. And they're like, okay, so what are some storyline ideas for this season? Like, what do you have going on? What are some things we could, you know, like events we could have, things like that. And I'm sure Meredith was like, well, we'll do my bath bombs and we'll do, you know, Seth's working
and we'll be
in Ohio.
And we'll be
again.
In outfits and we'll be in outfits.
We'll be in outfits that make absolutely
we know Georgia Connell from
sense,
Mount Lebanon and PA.
So she'll have a
we'll
field day
hate.
With them. But I feel like she was probably like, well, I could get bat mitzvahed. Like, I'll do that, whatever. And I just have a hard time believing that that's the first time they had that conversation. And so then I put this idea in my head that she already told him. And then they planned to have this conversation on camera. And so he was like, oh, I'll sell it, babe. And he put on that freaking show, started crying. This means so much to me. And suddenly I was like, okay, I'm so turned off. You're an actor. Oh, this is all fake. You planned this and you're contriving these tears out of freaking nowhere. Seth Marks? I see right through you.
You know what's funny is I think Caroline just contrived this whole storyline out of thin air.
I just understand the nuance of
this text we just got from Kelly.
Oh yes, we did have a conversation about it this weekend, and I'm eagerly awaiting your response, Phoebe.
This text we just got from Kelly: spooky pazookie trip to BJ's while Phoebe's home.
Let me explain. So
also, guys, don't we want Caroline, Kelly, and Anthony to make the TikTok? You know that sound on TikTok that's like, we're the click.
The one that Charlie, Nadia, and Troy did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want them to do it.
Okay, fine.
They kind of are that vibe.
Have you seen the spooky bazooki? Are you aware?
No, what's in it?
Oh, you're gonna no, what's in it? Talk to me. Okay, so it's like a chocolate cookie or something. Phoebe has two scoops of orange ice cream on it, whatever that fucking, I don't know what flavor it is, but it's
wait,
the
but
color
I don't want
orange.
It to be, I don't want it to be orange.
It's not going to be orange flavored, Phoebe. It just is the color orange. That's what I'm saying about it's vanilla. And then it has the chocolate magic shell over top of it. And then there was like something else that made it special. I don't know. It's like orange and black. It looks great. And we tried to order it and it's dine-in only. So we literally have to go. We're going to be swarmed. I know. Especially because this episode is coming out on Tuesday. You're going to be home on Thursday. Who knows when we're going to go, but I bet there will be people waiting outside the whole freaking weekend. So you're welcome, BJ's. You're welcome for the biz. You're welcome for the incredible weekend of sales you're going to get.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, what did you think, though, of... Did you have anything you want to talk about with Salt Lake?
No, now it's been so long since it aired.
Yeah.
I think I have to start taking notes when I watch.
That's why I've been watching it twice. What do you think of this Short and Sweet tour, the footage that we're getting?
Oh my goodness. She's blown me away. Guys, it's not that I had doubts about her, because you know I've been writing for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a little worried about, number one, crowd size at these shows. That hasn't been a problem. The arenas look energized. Yeah. I honestly think that she released the album at the perfect time.
She did.
Everything
think so
works
too.
For her. I don't think this is going to be easily replicated with other pop stars. I don't think this is becoming a formula. However, for her, the short songs on the short album worked with just like catchy pop hits.
Yeah.
It works for her. She can sing super well. She's a great little performer. Mm-hmm. She's got the Disney training. But also, what I wasn't expecting from the tour was this vision.
Yeah.
Like, the entire concept of the tour is so unique.
Mm-hmm. I love
and
it.
It's executed so well. I think it seems so fun.
It seems like she went to the Taylor Ellison Swift School of Being a Pop Star, is what I think. It is giving Taylor Swift's little, she's her silent mentor, is what I think. Because... the LaDucas, hello. You learned that from Taylor, 100%. She ditched those boots. Did you notice that? She's wearing her little character shoes now. That's a Taylor Swift move. And then obviously she's been doing the tights, but the Capizios with the fishnets layered on top, that's a huge Taylor move. She's doing that. But I think also her having this set, the vision. The one thing I'll say, though, and this isn't, I'm not trying to be negative at all, so do not come for me. You guys love to come for me with Sabrina Carpenter. I really like Sabrina Carpenter. I've made that clear. Okay. And I think this looks great. And it's like my dream. Like a posh princess slumber party is like my whole vibe. Like I love that. One thing I'll say is, and again, I haven't seen everything. You know, I haven't gone and I haven't seen it the way I've seen the Eras Tour. But I am missing the over-exaggeration of Taylor's show. And that's one thing that I think with an arena tour... Because there was something about all these videos, I was like, I mean, it's got the satisfying Sabrina Carpenter moves. It's got it's got everything to work, but there's something about it that's like not doing what Taylor Swift's does. The like star power. Not, it's not even star power. I don't want to say that because that's not what I mean. I mean, like the fluidity of these movements, I think really, really works well for like the festival stages and these other stages. I wonder if for an arena, if I could have used a little bit more like just bigger movement from everybody, not just her, like specifically her dancers. Like there are moments where Sabrina, I feel like almost gets lost in her dancers, where it's just a bunch of them moving exactly the same, including her. And I like that at times, but I worry
about... Which Olivia's mastered that. I know Olivia's not as much of a dancer, but in the videos that we see of her, her movements are always slightly different than what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. And there's something amazing about Sabrina being able to do this. Like a lot of stars do different moves because they cannot sing and dance at the same time. It's very hard. It really is to do it without your voice shaking, which is also why I think Sabrina Carpenter has been doing the Taylor Swift treadmill technique to work on her breath support. Because if you know, I mean, her mic is on. She heard us all talking about the backing tracks before. The mic is on. She sounds phenomenal, and she's dancing like that. This girl's in the best shape of her life. I'm telling you that. And she is 100% running on the treadmill singing those songs. Like, I just think I can just see so much of the... It's also all so well done, so well thought out, as Phoebe mentioned, and that screams Taylor Swift to me. Like, I just feel like she had someone in her corner helping her to make sure all her questions were answered. Any mistakes that could be made for your first big arena tour, Taylor's going to help. Like, I feel like you're skeptical of this completely.
No, not completely. I think that...
I'm not giving it to Taylor. So I'm just saying, like, I think Taylor Swift has a regimen and she's learned a lot of things that make her very polished and professional and make her team run like a well-oiled machine. And I think Sabrina's really good friends with her and just toured with her and learned a lot of things from Taylor's arena tour that she's taking on hers, which any smart performer would do. So it's not, I'm not saying that at all to just like diminish it.
No, I don't think you are. I think that a little more unique, frankly, than what Taylor's done. I think, but I guess it gives kind of like speak now, Taylor. I guess that tour was pretty creative. I just think what stood out to me more so than the production value or anything like that. It's just, or maybe production value is wrong. It's not what I'm saying. The actual like performance of it mm-hmm. isn't necessarily what stood out to me. The video in the beginning and the little clips between the dances, she's made it into like a 1950s like Bewitched style thing, and it's like very creative. And I think that she's really the only person touring right now that's doing something that is that creative right now. Yeah. I think Taylor doesn't have to be that creative anymore. She has all the material already. But like when I see like Billie's tour, the first night of Billie's tour was last night. It's just like it's missing.
It's not cohesive in the same way.
There's not like a concept.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Sabrina has a great
I think one concept. Thing that's also great about having such a strong concept, and I feel like she's had such a strong concept for her whole this era that she's in right now, but it's just, first of all, like streamlines so much the content that people are going to share and post. When you're tied down to the concept, it's sort of like, there's this quote that I love about acting, and maybe I've talked about it before, I won't tell a whole quote, but it's like about how your performance is like a flame on a candle, and then the script and all the work you do on it is like a glass thing over the candle that protects the candle. So the candle's never going to go out, but it will move differently every single night. And that's your performance. Like, it's going to be a little bit different every night, but you always have the work and the script and the concept to ground you, so that if that candle flame ever goes out, you don't have to worry about, we don't have a performance, we don't have whatever. We've got this locked down work that we've put in this concept that's anchoring this whole thing. So like it makes it so much harder for it not to be great and not to be cohesive and not to be strong and all those things. And I think we've seen a lot of shows that maybe like, and I think also you mentioned she's got these shorter songs. It's like, I feel like she could have gone on this arena tour like Phoebe expected her to and like ruin her career and go and not have a concept and just sing her little songs and whatever and
it
not sell
it
out. And people are posting it on TikTok and every single one looks different and everyone's like, what the fuck am I watching? Whatever.
And they're like, that was an hour long concert.
Yes. Whereas now we're flooded with exactly what her team wants us to see. It's so embedded in this concept that like it's selling itself now, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's what Taylor Swift was the concept of the Eras Tour. You know, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything else like that. So that I don't really mean she took from Taylor. I really just mean like the minutiae of it, like the little details, the packing list, the trips, tips and tricks, the like little things like that I just think take you from being a really solid performer to like really excellent. And I'm also gonna say I think it's her musical theater training.
Yeah,
what Patti LuPone said to Audrey Plaza when she said, "You're on the stage now. This is how it is," or whatever.
Oh my god,
that story.
This is the best. Guys, that interview that Aubrey just did with Seth Meyers, which I just love when we get these little these little glimpses into what it was like when they lived with each other.
Why did we not have a film crew in their boots on the ground at all times?
I'm so serious. I can't wait for in 50 years they're going to make a show like they made Grey Gardens about Aubrey and Patty.
But can they just actually instead not
Aubrey
wait 50
Patty.
Years and just do it right now because we have the people and they'll,
get
they
them
will do
in
it?
An apartment together.
What are we doing?
But there's the Aubrey's telling the story of how it came about, and she's like, I was thinking like I might do this play, and I was telling Patty about it, and she goes, you will do the play and you'll live with me and you'll stay with me. And then Aubrey was like, one day I like walked into the kitchen and she was carving like an entire turkey and then she left for 3 days And she left me a note that said, while I'm gone, you will have the turkey in the kitchen. You make sandwiches with it. And I'm like, okay, Patti LuPone was low-key meant to be a mom.
Yeah.
But only to someone like Aubrey Plaza, yeah, who's already like in her 30s. Yes. And like, only a mom to a grown adult.
The That's you who Patti will LuPone is meant to so parent. Funny.
You will do the play.
Oh my God. Patti LuPone is, so, I mean, I just really think, if I'm sure it's in development actually as we speak, but she tells a story, Aubrey Plaza tells a story about when she got like really sick and Patti LuPone was like, do you just want what I get? Let's just have my guy come over and give you what I get. And Aubrey was like, okay, I'll like take what you get. And Aubrey's probably thinking like, okay, she's probably done a bunch. Aubrey has probably done a bunch of drugs. She's probably like, yeah, what? I mean, what, prednisone, like a vocal steroid? Like, yeah, I'll take what you get, mm-hmm, Patti LuPone. And she's like, and I get all these vitamins and all this shit. And he's like, and then do you want what Patti gets to sleep? And when Aubrey says this, I was like, oh God, no. Like, what drug? Benadryl. Oh, Benadryl intravenously, which is like Phoebe's hell on earth. And Aubrey's like, I've never been as high. I was like, ugh. And Patti comes in and she's like, oh, you're on the stage. Or because Aubrey said, Patti, why is this happening to me? Or something. And she said, you're for the stage now. It's about time. Or something like that. About how like you need to toughen up like, now. You're on the stage.
The way these stories are told are like it's a character in a Jenny Slate or John Mulaney.
Oh, I know.
Comedy story.
Like it can't possibly be real.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
This can't possibly be a real event that happened, Aubrey.
And she does. I will say Patti LuPone reminds me a little bit of Caitlyn's mom. In the Hot Ones, when Aubrey's like, you can either eat a wing
or apologize to Madonna.
And she looks at the camera. She clasps the camera. She goes.
Takes a huge bite of it.
Sorry.
Then doesn't she go like this?
That's so. I think so.
She like flicks out the camera. When she got asked about, when they said, this is from a long time, or I don't actually know, but I think it's not, this isn't as recent, but they're like, what will you do if former President Trump comes to see you perform? She goes, well, I won't perform. I won't perform. He said, why not? Because I fucking hate the man. How's that? And she walks away, flicking off the camera. It is, she goes, I won't
and
perform.
And she's like 3 feet tall.
He better not.
Like, thank God she is the star that she is, because imagine if she was when she was younger and when she was in high school.
Well, and imagine if she was just your mom. Yeah, like, imagine if she was just, like, the person who was driving your school carpool. She's driving you to field hockey with your friends, okay?
There was a petition going around school when she was in school that was like, Patti LuPone will never be famous. That's the... If she was, like, she was Rachel Berry. Like, she, that...
There's no way
you
she
know
wasn't.
When you, now it's, like, so funny and endearing because she's such a legend, but take the legend away.
Well, but also, hey, Phoebe, shut the fuck up, because you know what, guys? What I want to say is, like, you guys think I'm a mean musical theater girl? Have you heard of Patti LuPone? Have you fucking heard of Patti LuPone? She's out here terrorizing the community, and we all love her. Yeah. She just does whatever she wants. And I think we all need to remember who some of us are learning from. And Patti LuPone is someone who I've always looked up to. And so is it really a surprise that I am the way I am today? Not that I'm iconic, but okay, I'm a little rough around the edges. So is everyone. So is everyone who's great. Okay?
Guys, I have a mission for someone somewhere, and I'm hoping that you guys can do this for me. Jeez. I need someone to figure out why Molly Gordon was not invited to Ben Platt and Noah Galvin's wedding and why they unfollowed her on Instagram.
Do you think that they are mad at her for breaking up Jeremy Allen White and Rosalia? Not blaming it on Molly Gordon.
I don't think they care about that. But she was... Oh my gosh, guys, I just unlocked it.
Oh
I just unlocked it.
Oh God.
I had all the information in front of me this entire time. Molly was dating the guy who wrote, and he was on theater camp. They were all friends.
Well, there you go. You didn't already think of this?
I forgot about that when the Jeremy Allen White pictures came. It just wasn't the, now that I'm saying it all out loud.
I understand the effect those photos had on you. Happened to the best of us.
Oh my God. I'm so upsetting.
It is shocking.
It is. It is.
I wouldn't put them together under normal circumstances, and those normal circumstances would be they're both single. They're both single and ready to mingle. I wouldn't pair them up.
And that's not what I think that when they were on The Bear, maybe this is because her boyfriend, the person that we all thought, the general public thought she was still dating, went to the wedding.
How have we not grown past showmances? You guys, this is your actual job.
Ben and Molly have been friends since they were, I mean, in theater camp, we get that clip of them, like them doing the performance the way that their characters would have been, like they grew up performing together, like when they were young.
Well, Phoebe, unfortunately, now Ben and Noah and Molly's ex-boyfriend are the clique, and Molly's out.
Beanie Feldstein
hit the freaking road.
And Catherine Gallagher.
Yeah, there you have it. There you have it. Yeah, it is.
So yeah, guys, just in case, I feel like Caroline and I just telepathically explained what we've determined has happened. Molly must have been on the set of The Bear, cheated on her boyfriend, or maybe it was just a messy situation with Jeremy Allen White while they were filming The Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Then they break up and she gets disinvited from the wedding. And now we're getting these pictures of Jeremy Allen White and Molly Gordon kissing on the side of the road.
It has to be something horrible happened that like her ex told Ben and Noah and they were like, we choose you, you know, which is a shame.
Yeah, and they unfollowed her.
It is kind of crazy that they unfollowed her, not going to lie. But, okay. I was just going to say something else about that. Don't remember. Let's see if there was anything else we needed to chat about.
Oh, one thing I wanted to say about Noah Kahan was that he walked on stage. You'll never believe what he did.
What?
He walked on. Noah Kahan walked on stage last night and he goes, watch me.
And that was his way of signaling to you that he is a road warrior. Phoebe just did a little tip of her hat.
Caroline, I have never reached for my phone faster and typed something faster in my phone so fast that it says Noah Rip of the Hat.
So, well, you want to know what I thought that meant when I looked at that today? Because I also got texts from Phoebe at the Noah Kahan concert saying like she got a hat at the Noah Kahan concert, and then I got a photo of it. I was like, oh my God, the hat's gone. R.I.P. the hat. R.I.P. the Noah Kahan hat. Something happened there. And then you log on today, you're wearing it. And I'm like, well, I can't wait to hear how she got it back. I can't wait to hear this story. And turns out it was something I never could have imagined, but I love that he's a road warrior. That is so cool.
Oh my gosh.
Noah, tip of the hat. If you're listening, and I know you are, tip of the hat to you. That was the sound. That's the sound effect that happens when we do it. Yes.
Also, I just want to say something if Hulu's listening. Are we serious with 4 minutes?
4 minutes for ads is out of control.
4 minutes is actually asinine.
It's asinine.
That is so disrespectful to your customers.
Yeah, good point. Disrespectful.
4 minutes.
Well,
like I actually can't even believe I'm saying it. 4 minutes of commercials.
Yeah.
Multiple times throughout the show. So yeah, the Hulu, it's so irritating to me.
Well, 4 minutes feels like that should be in your nightmare rotation.
Well, maybe it is. Well, then I just spoke about it. So we'll just breeze through my nightmare rotation when we get there.
Well, is that on there?
Well, it can be. I honestly haven't thought about it.
All right. Well, I've got one. It's my dream, though, of course, because I'm on Dream this week, you guys. So the first thing on my dream rotation is going to...
Is an elevator key at school?
Yes. Well, yeah. And thanks for just absolutely stealing my thunder completely. That was actually fucked up. And I will remember that. That was so evil. Yeah, well, here's what I want to say about that. There are a few things in life that give you an instant ticket to the cool kids club. Okay, there are a few things in life that make you instantly the most popular girl in the room. Number one is having an incredible voice and fashion sense like myself. Number two, an elevator key in high school or middle school. All right. There is no greater currency than an elevator key, and you get to bring a buddy. I had an elevator key for like a lot of high school because I famously existed on
because
one
Caroline,
leg for like 3 years.
You guys might not know
it,
but Caroline is low-key knee brace girl.
I'm not knee brace girl. I'm foot brace girl. Okay. I yes have
Which,
spent
like, okay,
a lot of my
I
life
do,
on one leg.
I think it's so funny that mom was how she was throughout those injuries, but she is a knee brace girl. Love you, mom.
Mom's a knee brace girl?
Mom is a knee brace girl through and through.
Oh, wait. I'm not a knee brace girl, though.
I know. I was just making a joke. Okay. You were describing a knee brace girl. I had an elevator key for most of the.
Well, the best was when like people who had like an arm cast on. I'm like, okay, you don't walk on your hands up the steps. And if you do, except you need to go back to a different kind of school. Go back to elementary
except for
school.
The B building stairs. If I had an arm cast, I wouldn't want to be.
Well, if I have any cast or even if I'm completely normal, I don't want to be in those stairwells. OK, but that's why it's such an incredible currency. And like, I just it would sometimes get to the point where I'm just like, look, I can't make you all happy all the time. It's like, I know how Chapel Road feels. I know how that feels. I know how Mudang feels. I know because I've had an elevator key and it's like, OK, maybe that was great prep for being famous, a worldwide superstar. And maybe I should be more grateful. So actually, yeah. But no, Phoebe, that wasn't going to be on my... Oh, I forgot. For a second, I thought I was on Nightmare, even though I'm in the middle of my dream. But yeah, that is number one. The elevator key, the elusive elevator key, whenever you get that. High school, middle school, whenever. Okay, number two is Harper Steele, because I just absolutely loved Will and Harper. I think everybody should go watch it. And it just really was such a touching story, and I... love her. I could listen to her talk all day. And then the last one on my dream rotation is my girl Kate, who is getting married this weekend. She has been my bestie for over 20 years. And this weekend we're going to get her married and Phoebe's coming home for it. Mom and dad are going to be in Pittsburgh for the first time in freaking forever. And we're just going to dance the night away. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And
I can't wait to dance.
I love her so much. I'm so excited. Her dress is amazing. I can't wait to see her in it. We're just going to have such a great weekend of memory making. So shout out Kate, my beautiful bride-to-be bestie. All right, your turn, Nightmare.
You Nightmare girl.
First up.
Wait, what was that? Who was that? Did someone just hack into the mainframe? Oh my God, did someone just hack into my mic? Okay, I'm going to investigate that while you do your rotation. I'm so sorry. What's going on? Just kidding, go ahead.
Hulu.
Oh, shocker.
There we go. Next is Chelsea from Big Brother.
Woo! Yeah. Yeah.
Guys.
Low-key long overdue. The Lorraines have been cast out of the house.
And here's the thing. She's only on here because she's irritating my gameplay as me watching.
Yeah.
She's clearly a great player. Yeah. Because she has infiltrated Mackenzie's mind so deeply. That Mackenzie, I saw a tweet that was explaining what this is like for Mackenzie. Mackenzie is like the kid who's playing with her two older siblings and thinks she's winning, but her siblings unplugged the game controller. So like she thinks she's playing the game.
No, literally,
but her
Mackenzie
siblings are the
is,
ones actually playing.
That's such a good analogy. Mackenzie is winning all these comps for Chelsea, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, Chelsea is just, because here's the thing, Leah and Mackenzie were so close, especially these last couple weeks, and Chelsea was able to convince her.
Yeah, it's true.
To put Leah up to get her sent home.
We're dealing
it
with
wasn't
a truly
even like they were like
diabolical force.
It wasn't even like Chelsea was like, let's put Leah up so that we can for sure get Angela out. That's not what it was. It was no. Let's put Leah on the block, then we'll put Angela up next week, get Leah out now. And Mackenzie was like, oh my God, you're right. And she's been saying all this bad stuff about me this whole time. You're telling me that she's been shit-talking me this entire time and it's just like all baseless. And Leah tells her, have you just completely stopped trusting me within the last 30 minutes and now I'm on the block? This is crazy.
It is crazy.
So Chelsea. Third, Andy.
I didn't finish last week's episode, so
me either.
Okay.
Get the fuck off my screen.
They made such a grave error not getting rid of him.
Because here's the thing, I understand the idea that like John's a threat, and obviously, guys, I'm biased because I love John.
Yeah,
and I'm a fan of John. Yeah, and I was really excited to see him, but so was Jeff. He was talking about it on Pod Save America. He was like, they really were believing in me. And but he was like, I told Jeff before I came on, I was like, I'm either gonna win or I'm gonna go home.
And that's what I'm gonna say to Julie Chen Moonves when I go on Big Brother.
But I guess he had like met Jeff and he was trying to get on, and so people were really believing in him, which is why I don't necessarily believe the production thing fully. Because production wanted him on the show.
Yeah.
But I mean, not that I wouldn't be surprised if production wanted to keep Andy. Mm-hmm. Andy is insufferable. I don't understand.
Watch it be like the one production intern that like has no clue who John is. And he's like, I'm just saying, I'm about to kill this. All right. First day on the job. Absolutely nailing it. Let's get rid of the boring guy. Okay. With no real
he
brawn.
He writes speeches.
Okay. He writes speeches. He's on a podcast. We got enough of those. Let's keep this guy who's got some real muscle on him. All right. He is absolutely drama queen. But think about the brute strength we get there. And I just
can't believe that like that was their reason.
And I'm like, what it brute strength? Let's record the exertion levels from the contestants during that game. He was literally on the ground.
Out.
He was like being fanned. He was being fanned and checked on while you guys were like actually holding up twice your body weight and like crying. And then
like,
you just sent
he stopped
home.
Being a part of the team.
You sent someone and home who, yeah, you're right, this wasn't easy for and worked really fucking hard and persevered because he knew he was on a team and that's what teamwork is. It mm-hmm. doesn't matter if that's not your strength. One day there will be a challenge that they exactly. do need your strength, but you're going to try your fucking hardest, and Andy couldn't do that.
Yes.
And the team is incapable of seeing that, which makes me think they all suck. None of them are going to win.
No, I really think Yellow's out, down for the count.
Terrible gameplay.
I just, even taking all of the gameplay aspects out of it, I think it was a shitty decision either way.
Yeah.
Either way you look at it. But I'm also thinking about being on that island.
How can you stand him?
And spending time with him.
How the heck can you stand him? He drives me nuts.
Oh my, and they're basically, you probably saw this part of the episode where they're talking about how they have to take Andy watch.
Oh, yes.
They truly just kept
they
him
come
around
back,
so
gone.
They like, can... They can just play the game and like make him think that they're doing to Andy like, what they're the people in Big Brother are doing to Mackenzie, but he's not. Mackenzie has redeemable qualities.
Yeah. Mackenzie is bringing something to the table where it's like, if you stop being able to control her, she can still probably make it last a little bit because she can win these comps, whatever. She's thinking this way. I just think like you guys just made your job so much harder because now instead of just like building a shelter and finding the idol and all these things, mm-hmm. you've now added babysitting to your like to-do mm-hmm. list every single day.
And you guys and don't forget cheering because now every time he cuts a coconut, they have to cheer.
Oh
for him.
Oh my God. Because
which by the way,
if you
the
don't,
way they edited that was so funny. The way they really, I was like, I can't even watch them cheer for him.
It's like
doing this.
I actually, if I was on that, in that tribe, I think I would swim away. I think I would just get in the ocean and start swimming.
I'd swim to one of the other
I'd
islands.
Be like, I can't, I'm sorry, you guys get it. And they're like, no, we got it. And then it's like, I am disqualified, but it was worth it because, no, I wouldn't do well with someone like Andy around me if I'm also like in the humidity, I'm also uncomfortable, I'm mm-hmm. hot, there are bugs around. And then he's like, oh my God, you're not getting, oh, he's like Man Flu. If Man Flu was just a person every single day,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to be sick to exhibit symptoms of Man Flu.
And he truly is like, here's the thing about a lot of my nightmare rotations is like on any given day, I could actually want to sit and hang out with them. Like Chelsea, I would sit and hang out with her. She's just on my nightmare rotation this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again,
things,
it goes back to
Andy,
what we went on that rant about. Renee Rapp has been on. Like, we put people we love on our nightmare rotation. Not
Andy's not
time.
One of them. Andy is only ever going to be on my nightmare
and
rotation.
I could tell that. And I could feel
rotation.
That energy from you. I could really feel it.
Yeah. And guys, it sounds like that's the app.
It sounds like that's the app, you guys. It feels great to just be back here. Okay, did you guys get absolutely scared out of your freaking minds by this spooktacular app?
So
October.
I'm just gonna put haunted house noises in the back, which Caroline has
I've
really
delivered to you.
Stitched into my Spotify
and you're
my
welcome.
Spotify stats.
If I
right
have
now.
To have the original Broadway cast of Matilda, then
that's,
you have to have
no. But you made
noises.
You made personal decisions.
Sometimes
that led
you have
there.
To be a little bit naughty. Anyway. Great. That's the great equalizer.
God, so embarrassing.
When Phoebe and I are embarrassing, all I have to do is start singing a little bit of like R-E-V-O-L-T-I-N. Come on. Like a little bit of that. And like she's in it. And we're
I
both
love the
in
little
it.
Ad libs. Guys, just so you know, if I'm ever on a road trip and I mention that on the podcast, just know that I'm somewhere in the country singing Revolting Children at the top of my
top
lungs.
Of her lungs. She's like, they spell how I like to spell. They honestly, like they got it right. They're spelling the way I think we should be spelling this whole time. That's how Phoebe feels about it. But okay,
well, yeah.
Things I want to talk about. October Patreon schedule. You do not get an episode this week because there are four Fridays in October, so you'll start getting them next week. But tell us what you'd like to hear. I think, did we decide on our pilot? Are we going to do Freaks and Geeks? Are we wanted to do...
We should find a
spooky
thing.
We should do Wednesday, like Sabrina, like, I don't know. Guys, let us know what you think. We want pilot recommendations. And then for our other two Patreon episodes, let us know what you'd like to see. And then, of course, on Thursday, we are back into our rewatches. Last week, we recapped season 5, episode 20, Pretty Isn't the Point. And it really was a great op. So if you didn't listen yet, go check that out. And then listen on Thursday to our recap of season 5, episode 21. Don't know what it's called. I think that's everything I need to say. Please, please, please make sure you are following us. And make sure you send your fan theories to @liarsuntildeath on Instagram because we are doing the collab. We'll talk about a few of them on Thursday. Very exciting. Follow us on Instagram @thePrettyLittlePodcast. The O in podcast is a zero. Follow us on TikTok @thePrettyLittlePodcast. All those letters are totally freaking normal. And make sure to follow, rate, subscribe, leave a review, all those good things. We love you. Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next week. And
splat.